Matthew chapter number 3, and try to be as brief as we can, and may try to condense this down just a little bit. And know many of you have to go to work and things like that, so we try to get you out at 8 o'clock and try to always do that. But we want to just let the Lord be God tonight and let Him have His way in the preaching. And so you pray for us that we can be a help to you tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. Look with me in verse number 7 tonight. Familiar passage of Scripture. We, of course, are dealing tonight with the baptism of the Lord Jesus tonight. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 7, the Bible said, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this time. God, it's been set apart, Lord, that we could come together and worship you, Lord, with Lord, like-minded believers, Lord. God, as one body tonight, Lord, we thank you for this place. God, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, to hear some young people say that they're thankful, Lord, for this place. Lord, I'm thankful for the crowd that we have here. Lord, thank you, God, for every family that's represented. But Lord, I do thank you, God, that there are young adults and children here tonight, not necessarily because they were brought here, but I'm glad that they want to be here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would always keep an atmosphere of worship in this place. I pray, Lord, we know that church is not about entertainment. It's not about fun or excitement. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would keep an excitement, Lord, among our young people. Lord, about the things of God, Lord, we're thankful tonight, God, that we can have fun, we can enjoy our life, and God, we can enjoy you tonight through Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight, God, that you would convict that heart, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself. God, may they see themselves as a sinner. God, may they see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. May they repent and believe the gospel and be changed and saved for time and eternity. Lord, we love you. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to glorify you, Lord, with all that we say and do tonight. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen tonight. When we come to Matthew chapter number 3, the chapter opens up with the ministry here early in Matthew's gospel, with the preaching of John the Baptist. We know John the Baptist came with the sole purpose of paving the way for the Messiah and for the Christ to come. And he was preaching there in the wilderness and preaching there in the regions of Judea. And here was his message tonight in verse number 2. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As John the Baptist went about preaching, he not only preached to them, but his message of repentance was accompanied by a demand that he laid upon those that heard that message. And that, of course, was the demand of baptism tonight. We come then in verse number 13, opening up to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And of course, John the Baptist, he had cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus comes down to John to be baptized of him. For a few moments tonight, with the time that we have, I'd like to simply preach on this subject or this thought tonight on the baptism of Jesus. Number one, getting right into it, I want you to see in our text, I want you to see with me the preaching involved in verses 7 through 10. The Bible says in verse number 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And he answered their rebuttal that they might have in verse number 9, and he cut them off, and he said, Think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham tonight." I see when we think about the preaching involved tonight, we know this, that John the Baptist, if you're a preacher tonight, you can't help but like him. Amen. He's just a figure that you look to, and a figure that maybe in our mind we would like to maybe pattern ourselves after. Thank God he was an individual who made much of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not point to himself, but he in fact pointed to the Lord. And what a blessing that is tonight. Amen. To see a preacher who's so wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is fulfilling the call of God upon his life and fulfilling the purpose that God has given him to make much of Jesus tonight. Amen. Hey, we've got a lot of puppets in the pulpit. We've got a lot of clowns in churches today. Oh, but thank God for some old-fashioned, leather-lung preachers who will take the Word of God and preach it as it is to men as they are tonight. Amen. Thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus tonight. Brother G.R. Graves, as a 14-year-old boy, I heard him preach the gospel and I responded in faith. And I thank God for that man. Hey, we don't even have the same eschatology tonight, but I'm glad he was right on the gospel, and he was right on the blood, and he was right on the cross, and he let the Spirit of God use him. And I got saved on a Sunday morning because a man of God wasn't afraid to take this book and preach it to my heart tonight. Amen. We see the preaching involved. Number one, John was a man who preached to expose. Verse number 7 tonight, he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Listen, John did not sugarcoat the message, but listen, he was to expose their heart and to expose their sin tonight. Amen. And man knows no need for salvation apart from a consciousness of sin. That crowd was religious. They thought they were near unto the kingdom. They thought they were doing service unto God, but they were as far away from God as they could be tonight. And John was willing to step up and to expose the error of their way. Number two, his preaching not only was designed to expose, but it was designed to exhort. Look what he said in verse number 8. He said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Aren't you glad tonight that even as John the Baptist cried aloud against that religious crowd, aren't you glad that John, even in his preaching, gave those vipers an opportunity to get right with God tonight? Amen. Thank God when John came and when Jesus came, he exposed the condition of their heart and he gave them an opportunity to repent. Well, I'm glad tonight that preaching may show us our condemnation. It may show us the wrath that is to come. It may show us the judgment of God that is coming upon this world. Oh, but I'm glad, thank God, that a true preacher tonight, he may preach judgment, but I'm glad he preaches justification. Amen. He may preach the gloom of Calvary and the judgment of God being poured out upon the Son of God and mankind being guilty of that. Oh, but I'm glad that a true preacher will preach that that was done in love and in resurrection power. hour. Give sinners the opportunity to repent and believe the gospel tonight. Amen. John not only exposed their sin, but he exhorted them to get right with God tonight. The Old Testament prophets preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus Christ preached repentance. And the apostles preached repentance tonight. Amen. Repentance may be a forgotten doctrine with the modernist and the liberal, but repentance is a Bible doctrine, and it is necessary tonight. Amen. It is to expose, it is to exhort. But then John, here again in verse number 9, deals with their excuses. He said, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." You know what preaching does tonight? Preaching removes the veil of self-righteousness. What was John telling them to do? He said in verse number 8, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance." He said in verse number 11, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance tonight." John's preaching was a message of repentance tonight. And here's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious leaders hated John's message so much. They hated John's message tonight because John's message put them on the same level ground with everybody else. You say, "What do you mean? All he did was tell them to repent and be baptized." Well, listen, that was a blow to their pride tonight. If you look at the building structure of the synagogues in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice something interesting about those. There is a baptismal pool that is connected to those synagogues. You say, "Now wait a minute, I thought they were under the dispensation of the law. Why is there a baptistry connected to a synagogue?" Those baptistries for what the Bible calls proselytes tonight. If a Gentile was to be converted to Judaism, there were three things that had to happen. Number one, a sacrifice had to be offered. Number two, the rite of circumcision had to be instituted. And thirdly tonight, that individual had to be baptized, immersed in water tonight. And you say, why were the Pharisees and the Sadducees so offended at the preaching of John the Baptist? It was because he was putting them on the same ground as Gentiles who needed to repent tonight. Amen. But listen, I'm glad that the message of the gospel and the message to repent and the message to put our faith and our trust in heaven's Lamb tonight. Thank God. Listen, it puts everybody on level ground tonight. You're not going to sneak into the kingdom on your morality. You'll not sneak into the kingdom on your so-called good merit or your so-called good works. But listen, you've got to respond the same way everybody does, and that's in repentance. Repentance and faith tonight. Amen. The weight of John's preaching is felt by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He is likening them to Gentiles, and no doubt their pride was wounded. Can I encourage you of something tonight? I feel like it's a stigma in our day, and I feel like it's a cancer that's eating our religious society today, both good independent Baptist churches and whatever denomination you want to lump in with it tonight. I feel like old-time preaching has become a novelty to a lot of people. Preachers will do all they can to get up and preach the Word of God. You got young people that'll sit and laugh in church. They'll sit and they'll mock the preacher. They'll sit and roll their eyes. And you got adults that'll do it too tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, preaching, I don't ever want it to become a novelty to me. I don't ever want it to be something that's entertaining to me. I want to take the Word of God serious tonight. I want to take the preaching of God serious tonight and try to take something every time that I come to the house of God and apply it to my heart and my life tonight. Amen. We see the preaching involved, but then of course the preparation involved. Look with me in verse number 11. The Bible says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now what was John's baptism tonight? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was a preparation for the king and the kingdom tonight. John's baptism. Now look, I know all you big B Baptists out there, you want to say, well, baptism was good enough for John and it was good enough for Jesus, so being a Baptist is good enough for me. Understand something tonight, that the baptism in the text before us, John's baptism, is not New Testament believers' baptism tonight. The church didn't even exist yet. Amen. So John's baptism is not New Testament believers' baptism, but rather it is a baptism of preparation. As a matter of fact, tonight, you study your Bible, there are no less than 9 baptisms that are mentioned in the Word of God. Now, not all of those have to do with being immersed in water. Jesus talked about a baptism of suffering. He told his disciples that they could not enter into the baptism that he would be baptized with. There is Moses' baptism with the children of Israel there in the wilderness. There is spiritual baptism that is laid out for us in the New Testament. So not all baptisms in the Word of God are water baptism, but there are 3 instances of water baptism in the Bible. Number one, John's baptism, that he baptized his disciples and baptized those individuals that were repenting to prepare for the kingdom. And then secondly, the baptism before us in the text where Jesus comes and he is baptized of John the Baptist. He is immersed in water. And then, of course, believers' baptism that is laid out for us. It's mentioned in the epistles as well as the book of Acts. Now, all of these are defined by immersion. This was not sprinkling. This was not pouring. There's no such doctrine in the Word of God as pedo or infant baptism tonight. Amen. We reject that. Listen, our Baptist forefathers died because they rejected that false doctrine of infant baptism tonight. You need to know that, and you need to understand that as a Baptist, that your Baptist forefathers really believed what they preached, and they really believed what this book says, and they were willing to stand in the face of Rome and stand in the face of the Catholic Church and stand in the face of unions and committees that required them to deny the blood of Christ in order that they may have a legal preaching license. And thank God they withstood that. And yet while in prison, they held to the truth of the Word of God tonight. Amen. All 3 of these baptisms that we mentioned are defined by immersion. John baptized with water under repentance, but these aren't the only baptisms in the Scripture. Thank God John talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is spiritual baptism. That is justification tonight. The Bible teaches us tonight that whenever you put your faith and your trust in Christ, there is a miracle that happens with the new birth. The Holy Ghost enters into you and indwells you and takes you and baptizes you into the body of Christ tonight. Amen. John talked about a baptism of fire. Now listen, the Pentecostals have this wrong tonight. Amen. They can talk about fire baptism all day long, but the fire baptism that John is talking about, you don't want anything to do with that tonight. Amen. That is a judgment. That is the lake of fire. That is the wrath of God coming upon those who reject the message of the gospel tonight, immersing unbelievers into a fiery judgment. And so we see the preaching involved. We see the preparation involved. Quickly we hasten. We find the purpose involved. Look with me in verse number 15. The Bible said, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Now here Jesus comes, and he is willing to be baptized of John the Baptist. Now wait a minute. The baptism of John is a baptism for who? For sinners tonight, that stand in need of repentance. And so why is it tonight that Jesus was willing to come and to step down into the Jordan River and submit himself, even though he was far superior, even though he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, even though John was not even worthy to stoop down and unlatch his sandal and unlatch his shoe and stood in an inferior place? Jesus Christ submitted himself himself to John in order to be baptized tonight. Amen. Jesus Christ is sinless. He has no sin to repent of. But as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul would write, him that knew no sin, he became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him tonight, as Jesus stepped down into that Jordan River. That Jordan River represents death. That Jordan River flows down to the Dead Sea, where there is no life, there is no movement, there is stagnant and still water there in that body of water. As the Jordan River, symbolizing death, flows down to that pool and flows down to that water. So why did Jesus come and submit himself to John the Baptist? I'll tell you why tonight. Even though he had no sin to repent of, even though he had no need to be baptized, he willingly stepped down into that water, and he identified with that crowd standing on the shoreline that day, for that was the crowd that he would die for. And I'm glad tonight, as Jesus stepped down into those waters, he was not being baptized because he needed it, because he was willing to come and identify with sinful man tonight. Amen. The purpose of Christ's baptism is to identify the sinless with the sinner tonight. Thank God Jesus stepped into my Jordan to identify with me. He was willing to take my sin and my shame and my reproach upon himself. Even though he had none to speak of for himself, even though he was guiltless, thank God, listen, as the seraphim are flying around the throne of God, as Isaiah looked up and he saw it, they said, "Holy, holy, holy, amen, holy, holy, holy," as he stood there before Pilate. Pilate looked him up and down, and he examined him. It was Pilate's job to judge and to find fault, and he had to confess to that Jewish crowd. He said, "I find no fault in him." Oh, aren't you glad tonight that as Solomon was there and the bride was searching for him, she ran out of things to say about him, and she said, "He's the fairest among 10,000 to my soul. Yea, he is altogether lovely." I'm glad tonight to tell you that he's holy, holy, holy. I'm glad to tell you tonight that as I look at the Savior, I find no fault in him. Yea, he is altogether lovely tonight. Amen. But Jesus, as lovely as he is and as sinless as he is, he stepped into my Jordan, stepped into my death, stepped into my sin, and became it and identified with me tonight. Lastly, I'll give you this and we'll be done. I see the preaching. I see the purpose. But then notice with me the proclamation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Quickly tonight, number one, we see the anointing by the Spirit. Number two, we see the affirmation of the Father. Now, God has not spoken publicly in 400 years. The last revelation that he gave was with the prophet Malachi, talking about the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wings. For 400 long years, God has been silent. There's not been a prophet. There's been no one with an open vision. For 400 years, the revelation has been sealed up, and God has had absolutely nothing to say. But here Jesus is, and he steps down into that water, submits himself to John, and he's baptized, and the heavens open up, and the Spirit of God descends, and God, who's had nothing to say for 400 years, he looks down at his Son, and he says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thank God, he looks all over, and he has nothing to say. He didn't say anything with Elijah. He didn't say anything with the prophets. He didn't say anything like this with anybody else, but Jesus was baptized, and he looked and said, "That is my Son, and I am well pleased with him tonight." God spoke to Mary. God spoke to Joseph. God spoke to Zacharias, but he didn't do it publicly. Everything God wants to say tonight is summed up in his Son. Don't look for a new revelation. You'll not find one outside of Jesus. There is no greater message than what he has to say. There is no greater message than the Word of God tonight. There is no new revelation. There is no deeper thought tonight. There is nothing new that you're going to find. Oh, listen, everything that God has desired to say to you and I, he has spoken to us. As the writer of Hebrews said, at sundry times and divers places, he has spoken unto us through his Son tonight. Amen. In baptism, he is identified with us. And thank God at salvation tonight, we are able to identify with him. We knew nothing of righteousness. We knew nothing of holiness. We knew nothing of being sinless. Knew nothing of perfection. Knew nothing of redemption. Knew nothing of justification. But thank God we found out about all of that, and we're possessors of it tonight because of Jesus Christ. What does baptism do tonight? Number one, it requires our compliance. It was obedience. Jesus commanded it. We're talking about New Testament baptism now. Jesus commanded it. So it requires our compliance. It reveals our cleansing. It's an outward profession of an inward change. It recognizes our church. With baptism, we are identifying with a local body and its doctrine. It represents our conversion. It symbolizes the gospel and the salvation of a sinner. It resolves our convictions tonight. It shows that the new believer is unashamed to be identified with Christ. It regards our commission. It is fulfilling the Great Commission. And then lastly tonight, it resembles our Christ. If you're here tonight and you are a Christian,